The following program features the opinions of the host. Listeners are encouraged to seek their own understanding.
If you were a kid like me, dragons were a part of your youth. There were fantasy books to be read, like The Hobbit, games to play, like The Legend of Zelda, and cartoons and movies featured dragons. Were these fantastical creatures a man-made creation woven into myths and legends of old that continued through the centuries? Or were they real? Could they still be here? Welcome to the Ghost in You podcast, a podcast about the weird, the wonderful, and the terrifying in the Bible. I'm Diane Student, your guide and host on this strange journey through the Bible. This is Episode 2, Dragons. Dragons are one of the most popular mythological creatures. Dragon-like creatures first appeared in Mesopotamian art and writings like pictographic script during the Uruk IV period, and later factored heavily in Near East legends. Dragons are described as being serpent-like, but with special features like wings and horns and legs, and many could breathe fire, at least according to some regions. Other places like Eastern cultures depict dragons as wingless, four-legged, serpentine creatures with above-average intelligence. Based on their stories, the ancients thought of the dragon as an enemy. The heroes of their tales often would be called upon to defeat a dragon. For example, defeating the hundred-headed serpent Ladon was one of Hercules' 12 labors. Ladon guarded the golden apples of the Hesperides and tormented the titan Atlas. After it was killed, it became the constellation Draco. As an interesting side note, going back to Leviathan, Ladon means strong flow, which clearly refers to water, the sea. One of the oldest texts in the world dates to 1500 BC and is known as the Rig Veda. This story is about the Indian god Indra and his feat of defeating the great dragon Vritra, and this released the waters of heaven onto the earth. Christian iconography and legends date to the late 5th century, featuring a Christian soldier defeating a dragon, usually with a spear or a sword. One of the most famous legends of these is that of St. George and the dragon. This legend features a venom-spewing dragon that demands living sacrifices that start with animals, but eventually become humans. St. George comes along and saves the king's daughter, who is the next pledge, by cutting off the head of the dragon. He does this only after the kingdom agrees to convert and be baptized. The Mesoamerican cultures like the Aztecs, Incas, Toltecs, Olmec, and Mayans had stories of plumed serpent gods. The Temple of the Feathered Serpent features images of a serpentine god on the sides. Each and every Mesoamerican tribe, from Peru to Mexico to the Yucatan and everywhere in between, had a feathered serpentine god that they worshipped. How is that possible? Did they all just come up with the same idea, or were they witness to some kind of feathered serpent-like humanoid creature? The Inca's reptile deity was called Amaru and had two heads, was rather large, and dwelled underground. Quetzalcoatl is probably the most familiar of these gods. He was worshipped throughout Central America and Mexico, and was a flying reptile deity. Quetzalcoatl had a counterpart rival who was said to be the god of night and sorcery, and his name was Tezcatlipoca. And he was also a winged reptile, or basically a dragon, and was more powerful than Quetzalcoatl. Legend claims that he created giants that were killed in a giant flood. Remember that for a future episode. Symbols of winged reptiles appear on the ruins of Chichen Itza. And something that is really interesting is the Cherokee rattlesnake prophecy. Part of this states that after 2012, quote, the Cherokee rattlesnake constellation will take on a different configuration. The snake itself will remain. However, upon the rattlesnake shall be added upon its head feathers. Its eyes will open and glow, wings spread forth as a winged rattlesnake. It shall have hands and arms, and in its hands shall be a bowl. The bowl will hold blood. Upon its tail of seven rattles shall be the glowing and movement of Pleiades. The rattlesnake shall become a feathered rattlesnake or feathered serpent of time untime. End quote. There is a vast reservoir of myth and legends, but were these creatures real? During the reign of King Alfred the Great, the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle, which was an annual record of events, featured the following report around 890 AD. Here were dreadful forewarnings coming over the land of Northumbria and woefully terrified the people. These were amazing sheets of lightning and whirlwinds, and fiery dragons were seen flying in the sky. A great famine soon followed these signs, and shortly after in the same year, on the sixth day before the Ides of January, the woeful inroads of heathen men destroyed God's church in Lindisfarne Island by fierce robbery and slaughter, and Ziga died on the eighth day before the calends of March. Granted, this is from an 11th century copy that was added to a few generations of scribes, but what if this really is a true account? Did these Vikings see fiery dragons in the sky? Mythical Monsters by Charles Gould, 1886, says, "It is moreover, though not very frequently, occasionally referred to in the biblical history of that other ancient and almost equally conservative branch of the human race, the Jews, not as a myth or doubtfully existent supernatural monster, but as a tangible reality, an exact terrible creature." And also, Aristotle briefly states, as a matter of common report, that there were in his time winged serpents in Ethiopia. Both two- and four-winged snakes are depicted among the Egyptian sculptures, considered by Mr. Cooper to be emblematic of deities, and to signify that the four corners of the earth are embraced and sheltered by the supreme providence. Josephus unmistakably affirms his belief in the existence of flying serpents in his account of the stratagem which Moses adopted in attacking the Ethiopians, who had invaded Egypt and penetrated as far as Memphis. From this we may infer that in his time, flying serpents were by no means peculiar to Arabia, but as might have been expected, equally infested the desert lands bordering the fertile strip of the Nile. That work continues. While the flying serpents of which we have just treated will, if we assent to the reality of their former existence, assist greatly in the explanation of the belief in a winged dragon so far as Egypt, Arabia, and adjacent countries are concerned, it seems hardly probable that they are sufficient to account for the widespread belief in it. This we have already glanced at, but we now propose to examine it in greater detail, with reference to countries so distant from their habitat as to render it unlikely that their description had penetrated there. Logically, we can assume that before there were pictographs and written language, that people groups had stories of dragons. Where would these very ancient people get their ideas about dragons? Wouldn't it stand to reason that they actually saw these creatures? Some people would claim that perhaps dragons were actually just dinosaurs, but the Bible's pretty specific when it comes to dragons. Dragons are mentioned 21 times in the Old Testament. The Greek word drakon appears 13 times in the New Testament and 36 times in the Greek translation of the Old Testament known as the Septuagint. That word means to watch or see clearly. This will be a topic for a future episode, but the watchers are a thing. So does this reflect on that? Here are some of the biblical references to dragons. Job 26:13. By his breath the skies become fair, his hand pierced the gliding serpent. Leviathan is also called Rahab in the Bible. Isaiah 51:9. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in days of old, the generations of long ago. Was it not you who cut Rahab in pieces, who pierced the dragon? Revelation references the dragon many times, particularly in reference to future events, and perhaps events that may have already transpired. Revelation 13:1-4. The dragon stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on its horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear, and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was filled with wonder and followed the beast. People worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast, and they also worshipped the beast and asked, who is like the beast? Who can wage war against it? So here you have a dragon and a beast. And that beast sure sounds like how dragons have been depicted for years. And even more chilling is that it sounds like it's some kind of chimera. And this beast was coming up out of the sea. And as we know from episode number one about Leviathan, who is the sea? Leviathan. If Leviathan is the dragon, this is what the beast comes from. And many scholars of prophecy define the beast as the Antichrist. Revelation 16:13. Then I saw three impure spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Revelation 20, verse 2. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil, or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Revelation 12, verse 3 and 7 through 9. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Revelation 12 is thought by many scholars to be an event that happened before the earth was formed and before the dawn of man. Others think this is a future war. Regardless, the dragon is clearly defined as the devil. And while he is the dragon, is it possible that there were other dragons? Sumer is the earliest known civilization of Mesopotamia, and really the earliest civilization period. Tales of dragons date back to this time, and while scientists will call these mythical tales, I believe they were describing what they were actually seeing. These same scientists claim that all the large bones found around the world are strictly dinosaurs, but how do we know that? Smok Wielski is the name of a European dinosaur, with smok literally meaning dragon in Polish. Dragon imagery is used throughout the Bible to depict evil, and in Genesis 3 we are introduced to Nakash, or the serpent. And as I've stated previously, I don't think this was a serpent crawling on its belly. I believe this was a dragon, the dragon, Satan. He was the chaos monster, bringing more destruction in his wake as he enters Eden. I don't believe that there are still dragons on the earth, or if they still exist, they're in a different dimension, similar to wherever Bigfoot might be, or perhaps a different area like the center of the earth. Most traditions depict the dragon as chaos, the chaos dragon. Leviathan is chaos, so I think we can connect Leviathan the serpent, the sea, to the dragon. It's an evil entity, but as we've learned, the dragon is defeated. Is the dragon or dragons still around today? The ghost in you knows. If you'd like to contact me, you can do that at theghostinyoupod@gmail.com. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Thank you for joining me on this episode. May God bless you and keep you. The Ghost in You podcast is researched, written, edited, and produced by me, Diane Student. Our theme music is by Muse Music with Groove Studios. All of the music is by artists from filmmusic.io.